Stay with us after that for some of my favorite people right here at WEFT. Surferbelly Freakout at 6 p.m. 500 Miles from Memphis at 7 p.m. Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m. And then Get Into Your Jammies at 10 p.m. And be sure to tune in Tuesday mornings from 6:30 to 9, Alter Ego Show. Have a good rest of your evening, and thanks again for tuning in to WEFT.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm here with Linda Evans. We are coming to you for the first time in 2021 with a live show. We've been running back some old content and anniversary shows, but finally we have some new stuff to talk about, and hopefully between ourselves and the theater companies in our area, we are going to continue to find new ways to bring theater and theatrical experiences to our local community.
I think that should be our New Year's resolution, that we're going to try to have as much new content as possible. Not that we didn't try to do that last year too, but I think we should try to at least have 3 weeks of new content every month.
Well, like, right, how can we come on and say, like, why aren't these theater companies doing shows when we're struggling to just, you know, come here and give a half hour of animated, passionate talk
right.
about theater and our community.
We could even just talk about old shows we liked. You know what? This year is going to be fun and interesting, and we'll have lots of different things to do on See You at the Show.
Yeah, let's all be brave, do things that haven't been done before.
Right.
Much like our friends at Twin City Theater Company are going to be doing with their concept for bringing unheard voices into the Zoom space, at least.
Right. And you'll hear more about that in a little bit. And also, there are auditions coming up.
Auditions? Wait, what?
What are auditions?
I can update my audition tab on our webpage that hasn't been touched in 9 months.
Our friends in Normal, Illinois, at Heartland Theater Company, have auditions coming up. You can submit your audio auditions January 24th through the 30th. For It Happened One Night, which I've never watched. It's a movie with Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert, and it's from 1934, a romantic comedy. So now I need to watch that.
This means you're auditioning. Is that what you're saying?
Well, even if I'm not auditioning, I want to know what's going on.
I thought I heard some, you know.
I'm auditioning, yeah.
Okay, so, and we're a professional voice actor.
We are professional
voice
actors.
So there's no excuse for us not to.
Right.
Now, Heartland Theater Company already has intentions of broadcasting this at a specific date and time. And I think Diane and John, with their project, have a little bit more flexibility of seeing how things play out. But the important thing, and that we're excited about, is that Heartland's going to do this radio show play. And Twin City Theater Company is going to do a creative, new, emerging opportunity for people to contribute their work. And stuff is happening. I think New Year's resolutions are in place. We've got our own.
And there's a little bit of hope in the air with a vaccine, and that maybe there might be some time when theater can be done in person.
And hope has gone airborne now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's hope in the air.
Okay, there is.
Along with COVID.
And, all right, well, it's always great to be joined by President of Twin City Theater Company, John Tilford, and the Treasurer Secretary, Diane Pritchard. Welcome to See You at the Show, John Tilford and Diane Pritchard from Twin City Theater Company. It is always great to have you on to talk about what is going on with your fine theater company, as homeless as you may be and as pandemic-y as we may be. There is going to be theater happening, and we're really excited about that. How are you doing today?
We're doing well, thank you. And despite the stuff, we're making some plans and trying to think through a season and trying to think of what we could do before we plan the next season, if we, you know, if and when that ever happens. So we've been in the planning stage for a project that we've been toying with during the pandemic.
Yeah, I was so excited when Linda sent me the link and showed me what was going on. And why don't you tell us about it?
project was kind of born out of the discussion we had in late September with a lot of people discussing the representation in the theater community, not including enough BIPOC and LGBTQ plus people in boards and in casts and in playwrights of shows. And we have a company mission of trying to really include and focus on inclusion of unrepresented voices.
And that's been our go-to since the beginning. That's what our plan was. That's what our goal was, to take those people who were not represented and give them a voice.
So we came back to our board and talked about what we had heard in that meeting, some of the, you know, the what was discussed, what was said was lacking, and thought, what can we do here in the interim when we can't be on stage? And we came up with just trying to do a Zoom show of if anybody had any original plays or poems or monologues or just wanted to talk about their personal experiences as people of color or also within the LGBTQ plus community. So we kind of struggled around for a name and finally came up with Unheard Voices, Turning Up the Volume.
Which I have to say, I really love the name. I was going to say that right before you mentioned that.
Thank you.
That was a good name.
Yeah, we knew we wanted to do something with voices.
Right.
So it was like naming.
Right. Yeah, we like the turning up the volume part too. That's really nice.
Thank you. So we put this out originally in December, and I think with the holidays and the rush and just everything going on, we kind of let it lay low, and then I just put it out again last week to just refresh everyone's memory, and it got a lot more notice, and understandably so after the rush of the holidays.
Right.
So we're just asking for submissions by the end of the month of anyone's, any age, any background, just their thoughts on those topics. If they want to do, you know, a short play, if they want to, you know, read poem collections, and if the authors want, if they need cast members to portray the roles in their piece, we can hold auditions for that. If they have their own people they want to bring to do it, if they want to do it themselves, just a very,
we just want to really no more than 6 cast members or 6 voices, just to keep it simple and keep it manageable.
Right. And
that was a goal anyway.
So are you trying to keep the submissions down to like 10 minutes or less, or is it
10 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on what we get?
Okay.
We're thinking we can put a number of, you know, if we should get a lot of submissions, we can put some shorter ones together. We can do a longer one. We just wanted to create a place where voices could be heard.
Right. A platform.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, have it kind of be informal or just something that would work in a Zoom setting.
Right. One of the things that we'd thought about doing, both Linda and I on here and see you at the show and also through the station, is doing short plays which were like published works by Black authors, and we started looking for and reading and setting some aside for potential. But what you're talking about is not having to deal with any sorts of rights issues.
Right.
But you're wanting people to actually bring forth their own work. From the,
exactly.
within
right.
the
community.
Local. It doesn't even have to be local. Whoever wants to express themselves. We thought about local and we thought, well, there might be somebody out there who really wants to get their point across. And this is a platform to do that.
Right. Have you had very many submissions so far?
I haven't received anything yet. Okay. I'm just thinking, you know, like always, people are up against the deadline.
Right.
We just have to see what happens. There's been interest on Facebook. We posted on CU Theater Resource. I have asked our board and our review panel, and I should mention them. We looked around our board and said, we cannot be the only people reviewing these. So we got together some good people in the community to represent both people of color and LGBTQ plus and various, I think we've got everybody represented. Our review panel is Latrell Bright, Chandra Galloway, Caden Matthews, Antonella Ortiz, Dylan Tiger, and John and myself, just mostly there for coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And is the idea that there would be a one night only sort of publication of these, or what is your idea for having these voices be heard?
I think that depends on how many we get.
Right, right. We could split it if we had multiple entries. We could split it up. We could, if we've got just a handful, we could do it in one setting. And I think that depends on what we get, Eric. That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and one of the things I like is that you don't, you know, you didn't wait until you had all the answers to start doing the project. And I think that's one of the things you know, when I see in other communities, just things going forward on Zoom, and like Linda and I have tuned in throughout the pandemic to, just because of various networks of remote theater that we've kind of come across on Facebook, we'll watch some group in Kenosha, Wisconsin, putting on some play by Zoom, even trying to put on musicals by Zoom. And some of them, you know, to a critical eye, they are pretty poor in quality, but at the same time, you're just like out of your seat saying, wow, they're doing something.
They're doing it, exactly.
And so that's why I, you know, if you worried too much about, you know, fitting it into a time slot or how long
we would
a YouTube
still be
video.
Trying to decide, you know, what we wanted. We would still be making decisions. We would still be discussing it, and we don't know
right.
what we're gonna get. And we can't foresee how many productions we could get until we get something. And I think the interest is there. I mean, I checked today, and there were like 600 people who had viewed it. So it's out there. We just need to really kick it up and let people know more widely that this is a chance for them to speak up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that was really successful that happened recently was the Enough plays on gun violence. Did you get a chance to watch
yes.
that production?
Yeah.
And so there were some, I think that there's just been a growing list of contacts that Linda and I are aware of
right.
and through
right.
other groups, through those
right.
Through those BIPOC discussion groups that you were mentioning that I think we can try to tap into if you haven't already to try to spread the word about this.
The station right now, that's all about, we're all about building bridges, and the makeup of our board has changed almost completely. It's overwhelmingly women, and we have more Black representation than I think we've ever had in the history of the station. So it's really nice that we're able to. That is one thing that we can do during this time when we can't do live theater is make these connections.
Right.
So as we make these connections, we want to like send them to Twin City or send them to CUTC. So we can all benefit from building a bigger community and working.
Right. We're all in this together, and I think it is a great, you know, you scratch your back, or you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and we embrace our differences, we embrace our similarities, and we just need to embrace each other more than ever.
Right. I think that's one of the good things that might come out of this whole nightmare of a pandemic is the feeling and this need for community and to really take care of each other.
I agree.
I hope that comes out of it. And as that comes out, like you guys, right before the pandemic, right, you lost your space.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's going on as far as when we can do live theater? What's going on as far as space for Twin City?
Well, we have not been able really to go around and look at alternate spaces. I did receive an email from Brian Morgan at Parkland before Christmas. He said there was a possibility they would be opening up the theaters in the summer and was interested in possible dates. I haven't heard back on that, but it was encouraging that they were at least.
At least reached out.
Yeah.
Right. That's nice.
The art theater space and the Orpheum theater space are now both vacant. I don't know if many people know, but there is a lovely stage inside the Orpheum Theater.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It would be wonderful if there was a community effort to restore the Orpheum, similar to what restored the Virginia, because that would be a great event and another true stage in the theater rather than operating out of a storefront as we were.
Yeah, but it needs work, as any old theater does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But it is a beautiful space. I know CUTC's done Penguin Project there in the past when the Penguin Project got too big to for that space. But yeah, unfortunately there's probably going to be other spaces opening up because of the pandemic, you know, not everything's going to survive. So
this store is vacant and that store is vacant now, and yes, it's vacant, but to do theater we need lights, we need sound, we need that equipment and infrastructure which we had at SOTO.
Right.
But our company does not own any of that stuff, so we are dependent on going someplace where it is. Mm-hmm. So we're just hoping something opens up for us.
But I'm glad you guys are thinking ahead and still around, and you know. And
we're glad we're still around too. With a little help from our friends, we are, you know, we. One thing about not having a space is that we do not have maintenance, upkeep, and insurance and utilities for a building to pay. So, you know, that's been a little kind on the pocketbook.
Right. Especially right now when there's no money coming in for anyone.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yes. So in some ways it's a good thing, right? There's pros and cons to both, yeah.
So last year there was some collaboration with the Monticello Theater Company. Have you maintained those connections?
Yes, we were, when we lost SOTO, we were going to do our April production of Doubt. They offered us their space as their, some show had gotten canceled for them. They had the space available, so they were happy for us to come rent it for Doubt. And we had about two or three rehearsals, and then there was COVID and restrictions, and it just didn't happen. But that is still open. There's a fine bunch of people down in Monticello. It's a very friendly, homey. It's it's just very fun to work with them. They're a good group of people. And, you know, we may be some wandering minstrels for a while. And if we can get into their space a little bit, that would be great, too. I'm not picky.
Right. I caught one of their shows, and I wasn't aware of their space before. And once I found it, I was pretty impressed. But they had some weird things. If you like, it doesn't work with Google Maps to find their location. It took me to some bowling alley about a quarter of a mile too far down the road, and so I barely made it back in time to catch that show. So,
we've rehearsed in Lincoln Square. We've rehearsed at a church on Philo Road. So, luckily, they gave us the time and the space to use. So,
yeah, have you heard about the new space, the rehearsal space that what's the Danville group that has that giant, amazing new building?
It's Red.
Yes.
Red Mass Players. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They just stumbled into some amazing fortune. The Strains have been on here a couple of times, and Linda and I went and we toured that right when they got it, the old car dealership. With just these giant big elevators. They are just swimming in luxury yep. that we don't have here.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I understand that Rantoul Theater has a very nice little space with new lighting and new sound that they've taken over since their theater at the at Chanute went away.
Oh.
And they have a nice little space up there too.
Who runs that theater group? Do you know?
Oh, John, you know her. It's Jessica.
Jessica Holmes. I know she's a huge part of that. It used to be. I can't think of his name. I've worked with them two or three times. They're great people. Well, that theater people in general are just great people. And accommodating and very nice. And I can't even think of this gentleman's name, but he was a big shot there. And I believe that the Nelsons, it was Mike and Clay Nelson, took a huge part in that theater as well. But yeah. Jessica Holmes is a huge proponent of that group.
So how are you, John and Diane, how are you guys getting through the pandemic? Because you're both very, you know, you're both actors and you're both very artistic people. What are you doing to keep sane now?
Oh, I read all the time. I read fiction, I read plays, I read, well, I work part-time at the library, so reading material is not an issue. And I've seen several series on Netflix. I'm very social, and I need to be out and be about. And this is, it's not taking a toll on me because, you know, I've got a lovely family that is here. Well, my wife is, my daughter and son-in-law and grandson are up in Ottawa, Illinois, but we talk to them all the time, you know, chatting online or whatever. So that's a comfort. So I'm aching to get back in a director's chair or in a costume or at a board meeting live.
Gosh, you must be desperate if you are missing live board meetings.
Oh, well, just that human contact.
I know.
Right.
And I'm the opposite. I am perfectly happy sitting on my couch in my jammies, and I would watch Netflix all the day long. And, you know, I've been crocheting a lot. I saw that they wanted lap blankets for the people at Carl Hospice. And I thought, that's something I can do. So I went to Idea Store and bought up a bunch of yarn there. And, Michael's and Joanne are always having these sales where they're just practically giving yarn away. So I have this big pile of yarn next to the couch, and I've been crocheting a bunch of blankets that way. And also my son and his wife and my grandson, who's 3 years old, moved back to Champaign in December, so we get to see them. Nice. And, you know, I've enjoyed the break from not having to run around so much, but I really want to get back on a stage.
Yeah.
What was the last show you were in, Diane?
Doubt. You were scheduled.
Well, I was going to be in Doubt, yeah. And before that, the last one I was in, oh golly, I guess it might have been Nonsense.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's sad that you have to go that far back in your Rolodex to come up with that. I know that when I see the anniversaries of prior shows, that's one of the blessings and the curses of Facebook memories it's been 7, almost 8 years now, Diane, since we first acted together in Pride and Prejudice, and then Leading Ladies was 6+ years ago.
Yeah, it might be 7. I saw that and thought, oh, really? That long? So
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly. Would 2020 be open to doing, I can't believe we're thinking summer again and still being in this pandemic, but would they be open to doing some theater outside with people masked?
That's a great possibility. Depending on restrictions, depending on what's open, depending on what's not, that's certainly an option.
Right. I think that might be, one of the first things that we're able to do before we're able to
Right.
inside.
Right, I think so too. Even though Dr. Fauci has said, it could be summer till they, the theaters could open again, but.
Right. I did see that Fauci was hopeful that theaters could be
right
at least by fall, if not by the summer. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. And I saw my movie theater, our local Savoy scene.
Oh, I know.
They're opening soon, which blows my mind. So
bought by company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest road trip that See You at the Show ever took was at the end of the summer. We went to Peoria where they were actually doing the musical Something Rotten. Did either of you get out there to see
that? No, I heard about that experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't get sick. And anyway,
it was
safe for people watching.
Yeah.
And they had a beautiful set up combining lawn and very expansive temporary bleachers, and the stage and the sound and the lighting and the sets were as amazing as you could imagine, in fact, for outside theater. It just it should be plays, it should be small people, it should be things where you can distance.
There shouldn't be kissing
and there shouldn't be big chorus line leg kicking and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it was quite flawed, but and there's
people
a reason why
people are doing theater, bless them.
Right.
They bless their hearts.
Right, bless their hearts, exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, and hopefully now we're learning enough and we know enough to keep people safe and still do something. I'm so glad that both of you are still involved and that Twin City's still around and you guys are thinking.
And I think this is a way that we can do this. We can get people involved. We can still do theater with the restrictions that we have.
Yeah. Right. So we've been talking with Diane Pritchard and John Tilford of Twin City Theater Company, and they are bringing to us in the next month, Unheard Voices, Turning Up the Volume, looking for contributions by BIPOC and LGBTQ+ voices in our community. We'll have information on our Facebook page and website about how you can contribute or pass this along to people who you might know. And Diane and John, if our